Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us here at Grace Point. This morning, we're glad that you're here and chose to be with us. We're right just starting today this new series on parenting. And I want to say, if you're not a parent, I'm glad you're here, though, as I teach through. I hope there'll be other, just within this, principles that can encourage you, you can kind of grab a hold of. And also, maybe you're going to be able to encourage others. It might be grandchildren, nieces, nephews, just a number of different opportunities. So I'm thankful that all of you are here today. So let me do two things, then we're going to get right into this. There's a lot to cover. First of all, Grace Point 101, the next class is January 26th after the third service. So this is an opportunity, a class for you to come if you're not a covenant member of Grace Point, just to hear more about who we are, what our beliefs are, history, ministries. I teach that class with other staff members. We meet out in the lobby after the third service, lunch, childcare provided. So if you haven't gone to that class, we invite you to come. If you're searching for a church home, hopefully it will be a way that will give you more information about us and help you in your journey to find where the Lord wants you to be. So you can sign up in the lobby or on our website. So January the 26th, and then Pathways Training, the Pathways Ministry led by Chris Pope, who is our care pastor. Chris is also a full-time hospice chaplain, and he created this ministry at the end of last year, and now he is starting the training for the ministry. So Pathways, in summary, it's on our website, more details, but Pathways, in summary, this is a ministry where we come alongside people that are walking through very difficult seasons in life. It might relate to the loss of a loved one or a number of other different things. And maybe that's where you want to connect and that's where you want to serve. This will be a great opportunity for you to come and to be a part of the training. The first training is after this service. Out in the lobby, Chris will be out there, and he'll do a training today, lunch provided, I think, today. Next Sunday after the third service, second training, and then the third training will be January 25, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. So if you're interested in that, it's still an opportunity for you to get involved. So that's going to be after this service this morning, okay? All right, so parenting, let me just get into this thing. 3 weeks, we'll go 3 weeks. I want to share some qualifiers and some things up front before I start teaching this. First of all, you know, if you've been with me for a while, you know I have 4 kids, but we've had a lot of guests. And so just to kind of bring you up to speed, I brought 2 pictures. One of when the kids were little. There's the kids. And a super young-looking pastor dude right there, man. Parenting and pastoring. Whew, aged me. So you got Tyler's on the end, the healthy one. You got Evan next to him. Then there's Kayla. Then there's Garrett, my wife Karen. Okay, so that was then, and this is now. There you go. So on the end, this starting from this end is Garrett, then Evan, Kayla, and then Tyler. So Garrett will be 22 in a couple of months. Evan's 23, Tyler's 24, Kayla is 26. Garrett, on the far end, has a year left in UNT, finished his degree in economics. Evan graduated from UNT. I don't know where he works, but he has a full-time job, and he moved out and pays his bills, so he's got a good job. I don't even know what he does. He's told me like 100 times. I can't explain it, but he does something with computers. Kayla lives in Flower Mound. She works at East West Missions, an international missions organization, nonprofit. And then Tyler is in China with his wife, Chris, as missionaries. And many of you support and encourage them, so thank you for that. So those are our kids. I'm going to talk about parenting, so I thought you should at least, those of you who haven't been with me, know a little, just get a picture and a mindset of our kids. And then my wife, Karen, we've been married for 30 years. Karen is a diagnostician at Prairie Trail Elementary School in Flower Mound, Louisville, ISD. She's been doing that for a while now. So that's a little bit of who we are. I've shied away from a parenting series over the years. And one of the main reasons I've shied, there's a few reasons why I've shied away from it. One is because I never want to come off, and I don't want to today or the next 2 weeks. And I've never want to come off as being a perfect parent, or Karen and I as being perfect parents. So we kind of agreed that when our kids were little, even when I was administering at my other church, that we really wouldn't do parenting stuff, classes and stuff, because we don't want to come off that way, as pastor and wife. Hey, here's what you're supposed to. because we were not and are not. So I kind of shied away from it. Second reason, our kids, you know, were little, and you know, we learned obviously early on, you know, pastors' kids sometimes are in a bit of a fishbowl, and so we didn't want to escalate that at all. Plus, you know, when they were little, I could be teaching on parenting and what your kids are supposed to obey you, and you go to pick up your kids in the children's building, and my three boys are dancing on top of the tables, you know, or something like that. It looks weird. Hey, that doesn't work for him. So we kind of, you know, thought we'd wait, you know, not do it because of that. And then they're older, you know, so really the preschool children's ministry, Julie Richardson, Christy Dorman, Wendy Orozco, have just a great vision for the children's ministry and for us as parents. And as they started talking about that and putting so much work and effort into this, as we started talking, and Julie just asked about the possibility maybe of doing a parenting series, and I kind of talked through that with her, why I have in the past. Now my kids are older, so, you know, maybe this is the good time. And so to connect it really with their vision, and we'll talk about these on the stage in just a minute and what else they've been doing over there. But this series is really to connect with what their vision is, not just for 2020, but from here on, which is a great vision of encouraging and equipping and empowering you as parents, which we'll talk about in just a few moments. So that's why I really wanted to do this, to encourage and to help. And I hope to encourage you as parents, especially as you're raising your kids. Ours are older now. I will say this, though, I still think, you know, maybe we use a different word, I don't know, but the whole parenting thing, I think, continues even after they're grown and gone, that you are still encouraging them, you are still giving them wisdom, you are still praying with them and praying for them, that continues. So don't think that, you know, as soon as they graduate, leave, that's done. I see it as an ongoing. Yes, they're young adults, and the relationship shifts a little bit, but still as their parent, as they're respecting you, you have opportunities to pour into their life and to influence them with the gospel and you know, the Word of God and encourage them, all right? So I do think it continues. However, we'll dial in a little bit more of the younger age group with your kiddos still at home, and hopefully bring you some encouragement. Now, I want to say that on the front end. I know that's the heart of Julie, Wendy, and Christy for sure. But also, that's my heart too. I say that now because some of these things I get a little amped up about, okay? I'll probably yell today, all right? Just know that, okay? It's all out of my passion for this topic, I think, in terms of parenting. Let me give you some qualifiers on this thing before I really jump in. As I already stated, not perfect parents. We're not perfect parents. I mean, we made mistakes, a lot of mistakes along the way. Some of those will weave their way into the messages over these next few weeks of what we've learned from our mistakes, right, in raising these four kids. So we're not perfect parents. I think there are no perfect parents, and there are no perfect kids, right? There are no perfect kids. I think we realize that going in. The third thing I would say is when it comes to anything, and this is parenting or in anything in life, but it's talking about parenting, I think as parents, let's be careful not to judge others. Let's not judge other people's parenting or lack thereof or other people's kids, okay? People are struggling and having a hard time, and there may be so many other things going on, but let's be careful not to judge others. The next one would be not to compare yourself with others. It's kind of the same thing, is don't compare yourself with others thinking, man, their kids are so much better, or those kids are so much worse. So don't compare yourself with others. And then recognize that nobody really has it all together, that you're parenting, there's going to be times you're struggling, you know, regardless of the age of your kids, okay? Now, three sources that I'm going to use for this series. Okay, number one, first and foremost, I'm going to use the Bible, God's Word. That's foundational. That's where we go to. That's where we build everything on in this series. Okay, foundationally is God's Word. Second, I'll use other writers that I've read over the years. As my kids were growing up, I read a lot of other writers from Tripp to Piper to Dobson to Stott to a number of different that I was wanting more information about parenting and how to do this parenting thing. So I'll pull from some of those guys. And then third would be our experience as parents, what the Lord has showed us. And so I'll bring some of that into my messages. I'm going to do, I hope, a podcast with Karen in a couple of weeks. And I want to sit down with her and podcast and let her talk about, as a mom of four young ones, you know, and in that time when they were little, and kind of the struggles, you know, she probably, I know, went through with me working way too much. It's a whole other story I'll get to later. But as a young pastor trying to prove myself to grow a church is what I was trying to do. And that caused me to work a lot more than I should have and neglect some of my parental responsibilities. I said that to her, you know, a while back, and we worked through that. It's easy to do. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But for her to share and to encourage mostly moms, since I'm going to be on the platform talking to both through a podcast, and people have encouraged me to write a book over the years. I said, I don't need to write a book. Karen needs to write the book. How to Survive 4 Young Children and a Crazy Husband Pastor. So that's the title right there, halfway there. Here's how I'll teach this. So as I'm teaching, I'll move from theology of parenting to philosophy of parenting. And I'll move sometimes, it's pretty fluid, all right? So theology of parenting, there's no room to move on that in terms of what I'm teaching. All right, so what I'm going to teach, foundationally, it's from God's Word. This theology of parenting, this is what the Bible teaches. There's no movement, there's no whatever you think on that type of thing. It can be different than what I think. That's not the way it works, okay? This is what the Bible teaches about parenting. Now, on philosophy of parenting, which I found myself in these first two services, moving from one to the other, give examples and say this is kind of what we did, there is room there to move, okay? So I say that up front to say, as I'm teaching, obviously I'm going to teach theology of parenting, but I'm going to teach from my philosophy of parenting. My philosophy of parenting might be somewhat different than yours. That doesn't mean you're wrong and I'm right, or I'm right or you're wrong. Okay, it's philosophy of how we approach some things. And I'll give you some specific examples of how I approach some things or how we approach some things, which probably most of you in here, you know, would think, well, that's a crazy way to put it. And you can approach it differently, okay? So philosophy, there's room to move. Theology, no place on that. So when I move to philosophy, recognize I'm not telling you to do it that way. I'm just sharing this is the way we chose to do it, okay? All right, let's start out. Takeaway number one, if you're taking notes, and we'll only get through a couple here today because there's so much, but one of the most important things in your life as a parent, takeaway number one, one of the most important things in your life, don't miss this, is shaping the heart of your children. Everybody say amen. That is one of the most parents, one of the most important things you can do. It is a huge calling that God has empowered and given you to do, which is to shape the heart of your children. One writer says it this way: God asks parents to be his agents on hand for the forming of a human soul. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing as parents. Therefore, it must be a priority, and that's what this our children's ministry and Julie, Wendy, Chris, that's what they want to communicate. And really, I know their heart in talking with them is they want to come alongside and empower you. They want to encourage you. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down this way: to empower families and give them biblical instruction, confidence, and tools to fulfill the calling to parent the children God has given you. That's their vision. That's what they want to do. I'm summarizing my own words, but I ran about it and they said, yes, that's what we want to do, is to empower families and give them biblical instruction, confidence, encouragement, and tools to fulfill the calling to parent the children God has given you. They've done a lot of work over there. I'm going to get to that in just a few moments. A lot of work preparing for this series to come alongside you and to encourage you and to empower you. Everything we do and say is a reflection of the things that we value, you value in your heart. We are value-motivated people. Your time, your finances, your time commitments, your spiritual habits, they form this picture of what is truly important and valuable to you. Now, if we were to review, just say, the last 2 months, what would you say we would see with that criteria to evaluate, what would we say and we would see is valuable to you? And what I want you to grab a hold of today is the importance of parenting. It's tiring. Sometimes you can be defeated. You can be discouraged. But understand the priority, the importance of you not quitting and staying in there when it's hard. Treasuring. Matthew 6, 19 says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Jesus is saying we all live in pursuit of what is important to us. And here he calls those things treasures. So for us, parenting is either something that is the highest treasure to us, and that is demonstrated in our choices and our words and our actions every single day, or it is not. That's the bottom line. That if we treasure parenting, if that's of great value to us, then that will be manifested in our life every single day. And there's a lot of other things. The reason I mention this is there's before we get into more, there's a lot of other things that get in our way and compete for a place that should be in our hearts, that place that God has designed for parenting as a priority. And there's a lot of other things that compete for that place. And so we must be careful. For example, for me, but maybe for you, at one point, the value of success in our job, which I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I think we should all be, I want to be successful, you want to be. I think that's a good thing. I think God even gives us that desire. But if we're not careful, this thing that God has given us to be successful can become a negative thing in my life and in your life if it becomes the ruling treasure that it was never meant to be. So if success in whatever it is, job, whatever, if that becomes the ruling treasure, right, that's going to lead us to dangerous places in terms of our parenting, because then our parenting and shaping the heart of our children is neglected. If it becomes more valuable to me than this call to parenting, then I move into dangerous territory. Anything that you value more than parenting your children will compete with your heart and can hinder you from parenting your children the way God intended you to parent them. This is true even for me in ministry and friends that I have in ministry. We can say, hey, I'm doing ministry. Man, I'm telling people about Jesus. I'm shepherding people. I'm ministering to people. That is most important. And certainly, it is important. And while it is important, I shouldn't treasure it more than I do parenting the children God has given me. And that can happen, right? Sometimes it's good things, even success, because you want to provide for those children. You want to, which is good. But we have to be careful that it won't slip into that area where it becomes unhealthy, and then it impacts my ability and my time or whatever it is to parent the children that God has given me to parent and to shape their heart. One writer says it this way: if you get your identity, meaning, and purpose and inner peace from what you do, you are asking that one thing to be your own personal Messiah. And because you are, it will be very hard for you to say no. And because it is hard to say no, you will end to neglect commitments you should be making to your children. So we have to be careful, right, to recognize that one of the most important things in your life is shaping the heart of your children. So then you just ask kind of a rhetorical question, like, what then competes in your heart and therefore in your daily decisions for the value that parenting should have? Is there something that's competing for that place that parenting should have? So how does God value parenting? How does God see parenting, right? It's a parenting series. What's foundationally then? What does the Bible teach? And if you have your Bible, let me encourage you to turn there. If not, just jot this down. And when you get home, as you're thinking through parenting, this verse, this is important, okay? I'm building everything off this, okay, of what God says to us about parenting. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, 4, says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. So he's talking to parents there, okay? So before we start teaching them to our children, he's saying they need to be on your heart first, parents. Maybe that's step one. They're on my heart first. Then, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And then I think the way the rest of this verse, he's going to kind of show us what diligence is in teaching. All right? Diligently. Now, let me just go on. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You get that? So he's saying, it's not just you bringing your kid here once a week, dropping him off for an hour and saying, I'm good. Can I say that to you? I'm glad you do, by the way. Good for you. Truly. And we'll talk more about that later. But you got to understand, parents, when you read that Deuteronomy 6, it's more than that. It's more than what's going on over there. What's going on over there is important. But the idea is that they want to come alongside us, you, us, as parents. Now, here's what I want you to understand, okay? I want you to hear me on this, okay? The church, and this is these next two statements are my opinion, okay? Certainly, and I think, you know, the first one, I can swear it theologically. The church was not designed to replace you, but to come alongside you, empower you, and equip you to accomplish this calling God has given to you to be the parent he wants you to be. The church was not designed to replace you, okay? We want to come alongside you. Our children's ministry wants to equip you and empower you and come alongside you and help you as you, Deuteronomy 6, continually teach your kids beyond Sunday morning, which is important, but beyond that, that they see this life. So here's the thing about parenting. I want to say it now because I may not get to it because I didn't get to a lot of stuff in the first two services. So I want to say this. When it comes to parenting, okay, at the heart of this whole thing, the heart is the heart of the matter, right? So when I'm taking off on parenting and I get passionate about parenting, which I do, but understand this, and I had to learn this early on as a parent, it's not, the end game is not just about obedience to the rules. Now, let me tell you, my kids, with four of them right there, I was all about that. And I was going to get that. And I could get that. All right? But here's what I learned, thank the Lord, early on, okay? that first of all, I do think, okay, I'm moving in philosophy a little bit and opinion, okay? Because this would go different for some of you. I think my opinion is that it's not bad, and hear me all the way through this, okay, before you send me an email. It's not bad for us, for me, for us to have a healthy, for our kids to have a healthy fear, okay? Let's call it respect for us as parents. For example, you know, when I asked my kids to do something when they were younger, it wasn't like I'm asking them a question. That's not how it rolls in our house, man. And you know what else I didn't do? You know what? Look. Here's the deal. We need to. When did we start counting for discipline? Well, I've been looking for that in history books. Okay? Okay, tell you, you need to stop doing that. You better stop. I'm going to count to three. Why? One. Two and three quarters. You better stop. Right? And then you get to three and you go, three. Okay, do I have to tell you again? Oh, my gosh. Don't count. Why do we count? I'll move back to theological. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord when they get to three. Is that what it says? It says obey your parents in the Lord. So we get past this idea. Hey, I'm going to give you to three to obey me. I'm going to say, I said to do it. I think that means now. I think there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you don't yell like I do, but unless it's necessary. But for them to have, so there is a healthy side of it. There's an unhealthy side. I started out on the unhealthy side of it. I've said that to you before on the platform. I realized that it was all about me raising my voice and me getting the obedience that I wanted. And I realized through a series of events and through counsel and my wife's wisdom and some other things that if I continue to do that, here's what happened. If I continue to do that, my kids would obey me simply because of their fear of me. Okay? Now, stay with me on this. First time somebody said that to me, I said, and? Right? And they said this. A counselor guy, a friend of mine, said this to me. He goes, and here's the deal. At some point, Pastor Dave, at some point then, they'll stop fearing you. And if that doesn't happen while they're in their house, then while they're in your house, then once they move out, you're no longer there, so they no longer fear you. They go do what they want. So just be careful, because your it's not about compliance to a list of rules. That's where I'm going with this. It's not fear-based. Here's where I'm going with this. It's about capturing the hearts of our children. And writing Deuteronomy 6, writing the truth of God's word and the gospel into and onto the hearts of our children. So then, when they're in a car and everybody else is drinking and it's their turn, they say no. Not because my parents will kill me, although I'll go with that all day long. There comes a point that doesn't work. But they say no. Why? Because on their heart has been written God's word and God's truth and the gospel, and they know that that is not right, and it's first between them and God. And they make that choice because of that. Right? Because you can't follow them around. You can't go to high school with them. Sorry, parents. You can't follow them around. You can't go out when they drive away the first time if they turn 16 and they take off in the car, and you're like, I mean, They're going to go. And at that point, we want to have written on their heart. You see, they're out from under now, and especially when they get graduated from high school. They're out from under. So we want to written on their heart so that their obedience is not list compliance. It's from a heart that flows from their desire to obey and honor God. Does that make sense? So it's a heart issue. And that's what we're talking about. Foundationally, the theology of parenting is getting the gospel written into their hearts. A church was not designed to replace you. Let me also say this, and you know this could be argued, I guess, but let's not argue right now. So the school, all right, was not designed to replace you in raising your children. I don't believe that. Yes, they educate them, they instruct them, and they guide them. But you and me, we are supposed to raise and parent our children. Amen? Don't expect your teachers to do that. No. I'll give you an example. I'm going philosophy of ministry now, okay? Or philosophy of parenting. So, there were certain things, Karen and I, with our kids, we defined, we'll die on these hills, okay? Certain ones. And one of them was respect for authority. Respect for authority. We said, we're taking that one on, man. And we'll stand on that all day long. They have to take us both out. One of the things we did from the start with our kids, again, I'm not saying you have to do this, this is just something we did, is every, from the time Kayla started to the three boys, every teacher they had from kindergarten up to high school. Now, by high school, we believed that they had embraced what we were trying to do, and we were good. So I only had like maybe one or two conversations with high school teachers. But from the time they in kindergarten, we would go to meet the teacher. And before I would leave the classroom, I would always ask for just a minute with the teacher. And so I would introduce myself. You know, I'm David Smith, and this is my son or daughter, whichever of the four classes I was in at that time. And I would say to them, you know, I'm David Smith, this is my son, you know, Tyler, let's say. And I'd say, first of all, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for my kids, for my son, for teaching and investing and pouring into them, because it's not an easy job. I think we need to thank teachers more often than we do. So that's the first thing. Thank you for just your calling to teach and to pour into him, her, whichever, right? That's the first thing. Second thing, I said this. I want you to understand that if you ever have a discipline issue with him, any of my kids, if you have other kids, you ever have a discipline issue with my son in your class, would you please do me a favor? Would you please call me at the end of the day and tell me what that discipline issue was? And I, when I get home, I will personally take care of that. And when he comes the next morning, he'll have an apology for you. Because it's not the school's job to raise your children. Yes, they need to discipline when there are issues in the class, but I'm supposed to teach my children to respect authority. So when they're in that class, they show that respect to that teacher. That's my job. We don't just drop them off and ask teachers to do it all. Yes, they're educating. Yes, they're teaching. I mean, invaluable. But we parent. That is our responsibility. We don't put that back on teachers. We need to recognize the priority of shaping the hearts of our children. That is my responsibility. That is your. Yes, they influence. Yes, they teach. Yes, they guide. Yes, they educate. Needed. But we are parenting and raising these kids, and we need to understand the priority of that. Are you kidding me? It's 12 o'clock. Is that clock right, or did you? Okay. Gee, many. Each service, man. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. It's like every other service. Each service I got, I didn't get as far in each service. So I didn't get to takeaway number two. I got to takeaway number four in the last one. So takeaway, let me give you the takeaways, and then I'll circle back with you. Takeaway number two is you are not asked to do this alone. I think that's important. First and foremost, it's the God equips, God empowers, God strengthens. You know, I think many times we get worn out. Tired parents, some of you here, man, you're just worn out and you're tired. And we want to come alongside you, right? And first and foremost, to recognize that what God, and we'll talk about this in the next couple weeks, what God has called you to do, he's going to empower you to accomplish that, okay? Psalm 145, 18, and 19 speak of that. You're not asked to do this alone. Number three, make the most of your time. Make the most of your time. Okay, time doesn't slow down, my friend. It goes fast. Those pictures that I flashed up there, I mean, it's hard. It seems like one to the other so fast. But here's what I want to point to this over here. All right, so Psalm 144, verse 4 says, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Time goes quickly. Now, this is something the children's ministry has done. This is also in more detail on the wall. They have it done with marbles, and they did a great job to show us. So let me show you what you have here. So at the top, this says from the time they're born, okay, birth, and then it has a number. So from the time they're born, each of these, one ball represents 1 week. One ball represents 1 week, okay? So this is when they're born until they are graduated high school, you have 936 weeks with your children, all right? So if some of you have newborns, a lot of weeks, okay? Some of you are like, I want this week over here. But hang in there. You'll get there. All right? So that shows you from the time they're born, you have 936 weeks with them. Elementary school, once they go to elementary school, you can see what's happening, right? You have 676 weeks before they, let's say, leave home, before they graduate from high school and move out or go to college or whatever, okay? Middle school, you can see this. If your kids are in middle school, you have 364 weeks left with them. It's going fast. Okay, and then if they're in high school, you have 208 weeks left with them. And over in the children's building, when you walk in the front doors, look to the right. This is laid out perfectly, starting with birth, and then they've got them all the way up until they're 12th graders. And they have marbles that represent the weeks. And the senior year has 52 marbles in it. 52 weeks that you have left to influence your children. Also, as you walk in there, they have these cards. And I encourage you, just on your way out, it might be just to head over there, even if you're not kiddos, just to see what they've done over there. There's these cards for each phase, okay? So I have all of them here, but like for the 0 to 1. So if you have a newborn, right, 0 to 1 right here, it says this. It says the 0 to 1, the phase when nobody sleeps, everybody smells, and one mesmerizing baby convinces you, I need you now, okay? That's the phase, right? And then on the back, there's all kinds of helpful instruction and information, okay, for you in that phase, all right? It goes all the way through elementary up to middle school and then to 12th grade. And each one, man, they're right at it, and I think you'll be able to relate to that in a great way. Here's the reason we want you to just visually see this, because the idea is that when you count the weeks that you have left with your child, you stand a better chance of making your weeks count. And we want you to see that, to make your weeks count. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Make the most of your time. Takeaway number 4, take time to build a godly foundation. This is what I'll preach next week. If you want to fill in the blanks, how do we do that? How do we do all this you're talking about? How do we do Deuteronomy 6? By taking time to speak of God. Second, build by taking time to point your children to God. And then third, build by taking time to share the grace of God. Those are ways. We'll talk about those next week, but I want to finish with this. I am, as I said, you know, there is rules and obedience and discipline, which is a whole, right, a whole nother week, maybe. I don't know, 3 weeks is hard to get all that in there. But one of the things the Lord showed me early through the scriptures and then through practically with my children is, I want to just finish with this one. We build a foundation by taking time to share the grace of God. Because, you know, as our kids are growing up, there's a lot of, you know, desire for compliance as we chase after their heart and capture that, right? But when you're learning, it's know this, know that, know that. And so one of the things I found early was the power of the grace of God and the importance of our kids understanding the grace of God in their life, so foundational to the gospel story that your kids need to get it early, I think. This grace idea, because that's what we're shaping our hearts of our children with, this gospel, with this gospel message. So when I tell stories of my kids, especially in the parenting, in this thing, I'm not going to use names, right? So I want to protect them a little bit of that. But this last story I'll finish with about grace. And one of the boys, when our kids, middle school and high school, we had some battles with the phones, right? We had some battles. Like I said, we weren't perfect on that, man. We learned and we made mistakes and all that. But we had some battles with the phones. And so one of the things, now I'm moving over to philosophy, okay? Kids hate this. Parents go, might be a good idea. When it comes to phones, okay, at our house, just again, what we did is, and I think I mentioned this before, is the rule was, and hear me when I say this, okay, every night, kids, bring my phones down to the counter. Did you catch that? It's not your phone. Okay, it's not your phone. Would you like to pay that bill and get a job as a seventh grader? No, that's my phone. Bring my phone down to the counter. Leave that phone down here. Okay, if you have a password, you might as well offer it up right now. Okay? On my phone. So, but yet we still battled. Did those lights go down purposely? Are we going for effect? Or did you just hit the button by mistake? Because it's freaking me out right now. Like, what's going on here? You just telling me time's up? Okay, thank you. Turn the lights off. Let's go home. I'm here all week anyway. So we were having this battle, and I was having a knockdown drag out with one of the boys on it, you know. I'd taken it away numerous times. And And so on this last time, I said, okay, look, man, it goes down again. You won't see that phone until you're 21. I mean, I'm taking that thing from you. You won't see that. And so a little bit of time passed, and we had another incident. I said, give me the phone. So he gave me the phone. I was angry. And so the way it kind of rolled in our house, if that something like that happened, and you come into my office there and sit across the desk from me, and then I'm going to talk to you about, you know, what happened and how this is going to play out, right? And so I decided with this with one time, I said, I'm gonna go take a walk because I was pretty cranked up, and I learned that I can't discipline when I'm angry. That's not healthy. Not good for them. It's not good for me. So I did. Thought through things. Brought him in my office, sitting across from him, had his phone, had my phone in front of me, and I was just getting ready, and we were talking through what went down and what was wrong, and I was getting ready to tell him, you know, you're not going to see this till the end of the summer. Summer hadn't started yet, so it was going to be a long time. And now, I want you to keep this illustration in context. I'm not saying you need to do this. I'm not saying I do this all the time. I did it this one time, actually. But it was a teaching moment. As I was getting ready to, just thinking through how this is going to go down, man, it's like the Lord just really pressed on me and spoke to me, okay? I felt like pressed in my mind and my heart. And it said, as I was thinking this and listening to him talk, my son, show him my grace. Give him grace. That was what kept coming to my mind. And I was like, I'm not giving him grace. He crossed the line. It's not grace. He broke the rule. And it was like just really powerful. I started to like even sweat a little bit. I mean, I was like, and it is very, very, again, very, this didn't happen. It just happened like, you know, give him grace, and it was almost like teach him grace. And I thought, wow, that's radical, man. That was radical. I mean, that was radical. So I paused, took his phone, and I just pushed it right back over in front of him. Excuse me, doggone it. Took my phone, pushed it right back over in front of him. And I said, I'm going to give you your phone back. And he just was like, what? I said, you know what they call that, son? They call that grace. You know what grace is? Grace is when you get something you don't deserve. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know what? Just as we were talking, God reminded me of the grace he's shown me and wants me to give you grace today. That's the grace of God. Now, I'm not saying I did that every time. Here's an amazing thing, and I'm going to pray to you. Do you know from that point forward, it all changed. He got it. I'm not saying that's the way you handle it all the time. It's got to be let the Lord speak. But our children, we build a foundation by taking time to share the grace of God, because the gospel story is foundational. And that's the story you want to write on their hearts. Let's stand and pray together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our preschool children's ministry, for their hearts to equip, empower, and come alongside parents. I pray for those who might be weary. God, would you lift them up? Restore their hope and their faith. Those who might be struggling with their kiddos today, God, just encourage them today that you will provide what you've called us to do. We don't have to do it all on our own. We look to you today, God, to strengthen and empower us. And we thank you that you answer us. In Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll be here at the front. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never done that, but God has drawn you to him today, you've never prayed, surrendered your life to Christ, we invite you to come. I'll be here, other staff and elders here. We welcome you to come. Or if there's something else on your heart you want us to pray for you, we invite you to come to kneel at the altar or just where you're standing. Maybe just where you're standing, you're praying and you're worshiping. However the Lord leads you, let's continue to worship this morning. Thank you.